Let me do
My
this.
name's Okay. Okay, welcome everyone. Excuse me.
All right. So we're going to take a look at Parshas Noach and the section on the keshet on the rainbow. So let's read the psukim quickly. It's Parak Tes, chapter 9, Parak Tes, and the middle of Parak Tes, pasuk. Pasuk 8. Vayomer Elohim al Noach vel banav itole mor. Hashem speaks to Noach and his children. Bani, hinini mekim es brisi itchem ve'adzarechem acharechem. I am going to establish my covenant with you and your children afterwards. Ve'skol nefesh achaya asher itchem ba'vavimah v'chol chayas ha'aretz itchem. With all of creation, everyone coming out, all those that come out of the teva, out of the ark. Ve'akimosi es brisi itchem ve'lo yikaris kol basar od mimei ababul. I will maintain my covenant with you, and I will not destroy the flesh any longer as a consequence of the waters of the Mabul. Vayomer Elohim, and God says, Zos os habris asher ani nosein beini uveinechem. This is the sign of the covenant between you and me, uvein kol nefesh chaya asher itchem ledoros olam, and with all living beings forever. As kashti nosati be'anon, I have a rainbow in the heavens. V'haysala oz bris b'ni uvein ha'aretz, and this will serve as a covenant. V'hayab anani anon ala aretz, and when I gather the clouds over the earth, v'nir asa akeshas be'anon, and a rainbow will be seen in the clouds. V'zacharti as brisi asher b'ni uveinechem, I will then recall my covenant with you, and with all of living beings. V'lo yeh od ha'mayim l'mabul shachez kol basar. There will no longer be any floods to destroy the world. V'aysa akeshes be'anan. And this rainbow shall be, and this bow in the clouds, this rainbow in the clouds, v'isia lizkor bris olam. It will be seen. It shall be seen. I shall see it. Somebody shall see it. And will remember the covenant between Hashem and all living beings. Vayomer Elohim al Noach, and God says to Noach, Zosos habris, this is the sign of the covenant. Okay, so we have here from Pasuk 9 to 17, so it's 8 psukim, about the rainbow, the keshet. And really, the psukim that discuss the keshet itself begins with Pasuk 12. Vayomer Elokim Zoso Sabris, from 12 to 17. So we have 5 psukim, and in these 5 psukim, or 8 psukim altogether, we have quite a bit of of description, but quite a bit of repetition about this rainbow. And so the sort of overall question which I'd like to address this morning is, what is the significance of the rainbow? What is the significance of the keshet? So that's question number one. What is the significance of the keshet? All right. What's the significance of the keshet? Number two is, although we have multiple times that the keshet is mentioned, it doesn't seem like we have any additional information or greater detail about the keshet. The pasuk says, sort of over and over again, this is the covenant, a rainbow. It's going to be a covenant, a rainbow, a covenant, a rainbow. So it's over and over again, and each time the Torah introduces it again, it doesn't seem to reveal anything more, anything deeper, anything more profound than what we have to begin with, right? Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem says, "Zos osabris, this is the covenant." Pasuk 13, "Kashti nosati be'anan vayala os." Pasuk 14. You will see the rainbow, Pasuk 15, and I will remember my covenant, Pasuk 16, and there will be a rainbow, and you will see it, and there will be a covenant, and I will remember it. I mean, it's like, if you didn't get it the first time, maybe you'll get it the second time, and if you didn't get it the second time, we're going to knock it over your head a third time. So the second question here is, what is the what is the significance, or why this the threefold rendition of the rainbow? So,
can I also ask you a question about the rainbow?
Yeah.
Is this, when we see the rainbow, I never know, is it a good thing that we're seeing it or a bad thing?
Okay. Brandy, remind me to give you the kickback after the shiur for asking the question. I have a very good setup. No, she didn't. I didn't tell her to ask that in advance.
No.
But that's exactly the question which we're going to address. What's the significance of the keshet? So let's jump there for a second. I'm going to go a little bit out of order from how I planned this, but let's try to address this. From the read of the psukim, is the appearance of a rainbow a good thing or a bad thing? All right, so Brian says she doesn't know. So let's go to somebody who thinks they do know. Okay, yeah. It's a bad thing. From the psukim. Why is it a bad thing?
Hashem is implying. He's repeating. It's a covenant. He won't destroy the world again. It doesn't mean he wouldn't like to.
Okay, so what Ira's suggesting is that, and which pasuk do you see that in? Which pasuk do you see that in? Right? Hashem is suggesting that he would like to, he intends to destroy it, but he's sort of holding himself back. Intends to destroy, but he's being kovesh his yetzer, as it were. Right? And so this would seem to indicate that it's a bad thing. What pasuk do you get that from? Or
the repetition of this, my covenant that he won't destroy the
repetition. Okay, so Iris says, the fact that he keeps on saying it's a covenant, it's a covenant, it's a covenant. Somebody once said to me that when two parties start looking at the contract, that's a bad sign, right? In other words, you sign a contract, a buyer, a seller, a business partner, you sign a contract, you go into business, you do what you're doing, and you put the contract aside. That's just to formalize things. Once you start looking at the contract, that already means that there's trouble. You know, you were supposed to do this, it says it in the contract. You were supposed to do that, it says it in the contract. You start looking at the covenant. So Hashem, by repeating over and over again, the covenant, the covenant, the covenant, it's like, why are you mentioning the covenant? You know, I was suggesting that it means that there's a problem. And there, we have to look at the covenant now in order to determine how to go forward. Right? But I think there's something even more explicit than that. The pasuk says in Tesvav, V'haya ba'anani anan al ha'aretz, 15, I will remember my covenant between you and me. Where is this? And it shall happen when I place a cloud over the earth, and the bow will be seen in the cloud. So maybe it's not more explicit, but could just mean that that's where you see rainbows. But you can also understand it on a sort of on a more homiletic level. That Hashem says, when the clouds gather, right, there's going to be problems, and I'm going to want to, and I will remember v'zacharti. I will remember the covenant, even though there's problems. So on the one hand, you could argue that it's a bad thing. Anybody want to make another? Oh, now you know something.
I have something. No, I know both.
Okay.
The clouds bring me back to the Anane HaKavod.
Okay.
Just taking a different route. Mm-hmm. This promise was with the Noach generation. The three, because I see three repetitions, could be by Yisrishon Sheni, then the third final. That maybe he's going to say that the Jews, at this point it's not a Jewish people yet. Later on in life when we become the Jewish people, that then he would want to kill us, but okay, so he killed the temple. Then he's upset again at his people. And then the third and final.
Okay. All right. So Brian is suggesting perhaps this is an everlasting covenant,
right.
And the threefold repetition sort of represents three different stages of Jewish history.
Bayis
Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Okay, but perhaps it would be a foreshadowing. Okay. Can anybody make the argument that the keshet is a good thing, or do you want to make another argument that it's a bad thing?
Well, good thing is that's showing us.
Roddy?
It says right here, "I will never again become a flood to destroy all flesh."
Okay, and thus,
that's good.
Right?
You ain't gonna drown.
Okay, so
people.
So the keshet in and of itself, is a statement of safety, security, a promise of longevity. You know that there's going to that the Jewish people, or you know the descendants of all people, will be protected from annihilation. So you know, okay. So on the pshat level over here, it's either a bad thing because it intimates Hashem's interest to destroy us. It's a good thing because it reminds us all that we are protected from annihilation. Okay?
Not really. We're protected from annihilation by means of water.
Okay. So, right. So maybe it's a maybe this is a there's a rider in the insurance policy, and it says read the fine print. Everything is up for grabs except for water, and you happen to not live in a floodplain anyway. So we'll take your $1,000 a month. Okay. So all right. So it could be that it's a limited. It's somewhat limited. In which case. There would be a middle case over here that it's, okay, middle. Okay, let's take a look at these. I want to take a look at the threefold promise here, and just see if we can notice a couple of differences, and then I want to actually take a look at the significance of the keshet in far greater detail. Okay, so the first time. So what are the things that repeat over here? So let's look at pasuk Yud Beis, or actually, well, you know, tell me the things that you find that repeat themselves multiple times here.
Right.
Okay. So we have Hashem says Zos Os Bris Asher Anino Sein. Right, and we have that once. Then we have the second time. That was what in pasuk Yud Beis. Then we have in Yud Dalet or Yud Gimel we have Vaisala Oz Bris. Then we have again the Haisah Keshes this core Bris Olam. All right, so those things are so we have a threefold Bris. Tell me the things that are different. Okay, what's different? So each one of these is a Bris. Okay, so we have a Bris. And a bris, covenant. What's different in the rendition of the covenants? So, Steve, what are you saying?
And it differentiate between kol nefesh. It's like
okay.
Beini, ubein kol nefesh chayav bekol basar. That's the tenth vav. And then you have the same thing, Yud Zayin.
Okay, so let's look at them in order. So in Yud Beis we have Vayomer Elohim Zos Os Habris Asher Ani Nosein Beini Uveinechem. This is the sign of the covenant between you and me. But he already introduced it really once before, and in Psukim 9-11. So let's take a look at the bris over there. Vani hinini mekim es brisi itchem es arachem acharechem. V'hakimoti briti itchem pasuk 11. V'loya od mabul shachet haaretz. Pasuk 12 we have the os beini uvein kol nefesh chaya. So let's see. I'm sorry. Beini uveinechem. So let's put over here beini. Uveinechem, between you and me, right? Kol nefesh chaya, and other people. Okay. Then we have following that, es kashtina sati banan vaisala oz bris beini uvein haaretz. So we have, actually maybe I did that a little out of order. Beini uvein haaretz. Okay. And then we have... V'zacharti es brisi asher beini uveinechem v'chol nefesh basar b'chol basar v'haisa ha'keshes be'anan u'risiel lizkor bris olam b'nei Elohim uvein kol nefesh chaya b'chol basar. So we have kol basar. Right? And some of these overlap, but we have bris between God and the land, between God and humanity, between God and all flesh and all living things.
Which includes
even animals, right?
Not just animals, but people too.
Well, kol nefesh chaya is over here. Beinu ve'nechem v'chol nefesh chaya is over here. What?
Kol basar, it's a repeater on beinu ve'nechem.
But I'm saying, kol basar is even more expansive, right? It's including these things and right, and even animals. So we have a threefold bris over here. And some of the farshim point out that that if beinu ve'nechem v'chol nefesh chaya is between you and me. And then, and then other living people, you know, as well, sort of get on the coattails of this bris. If you don't, deserve it, then the bris is, we have the bris with the kol basar and the aretz. In other words, this is a rock solid covenant. Even if there, at the end of a contract, sometimes it says if this contract is null in part, it should not be, it's not entire, it's just that part of the contract is void, but the whole contract is not void. So this threefold bris here, aretz, beinu ve'nechem, and kol basar, is really saying this is a rock solid absolute absolute thing. Now the Radak and others say, look at it a little bit more simply, it's just being mechazek, it's just emphasizing the importance of this covenant, right? It's there for emphasis. And maybe there are nuanced differences, but ultimately, it's there just to emphasize the significance of this bris, which gets
it also,
me.
It also is kind of bringing me back to last week's parsha that God first created the land, then He created this thing, then He created that thing. So maybe He's also trying. It's not that far away from when He just created the world that. Showing you that He's keeping the whole world. The only thing that's really not in this covenant is the stars, the moon, and all that stuff.
Okay, so this is the Mabul on the earth, not the,
right.
That's the only thing that's in peril of destruction. Okay, so if this is really so significant and it requires multiple renditions in order to make sure that we understand its significance, what is the significance of the keshet? So take a look at the sheet that I gave you, the little booklet, all right, the Rainbow Connection. Take a look at Gemara Chagiga, Daf Tezayin. Gemara Chagiga says, Kol shelo chas al kvod kono, roy lo shelo bala olam. Whoever has no, whoever does not care for the honor of Hashem, deserves not to have been born. So what is an example? Maihi. What's an example of somebody who is not chas al kvod kono? So Rabbi Abba Amar Zahamistakel Bekeshes, that is somebody who looks at a rainbow. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef says, Zeha over Avera Beseser. Rabbi Yosef says it's somebody who commits a transgression in private. Looking at a rainbow is like an act of disrespect to Hashem, as it's written. The pasuk says in the Yechezkel, "Kemare hakeshet asher yeh be'anan biyom hageshen, kein mare hanoga savivhu mared mus kvod Hashem." So somehow the rainbow is somehow a representation of Hashem. So somebody who looks like directly at the rainbow is sort of like looking eye to eye at God. It's like a little brazen. So if that's the case in the minds of the Gemara. So what is the rainbow a positive thing or is the rainbow a negative thing?
No, because it could be God's coming into the world, so that's a good thing. Just don't look at him. Show his presence. So then
I'm asking you, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
To show his presence in the world is a good thing.
Okay, so it would seem that the keshes is a positive thing. Keshes is is a good thing. It's actually a representation of Hashem, somehow a representation of Hashem. How exactly it is a representation of Hashem, we'll leave for the moment. But it's, let's say it's a representation of Hashem. So since I'm a teacher in a school, when the principal walks into the classroom, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Usually a bad thing. Can't be good. So the Nira, so the fact that the Keshes represents Hashem, well, that's a good thing. The fact that the Keshes is being represented is maybe not such a great thing, because you know why is Hashem making his presence felt, right? In other words, and his presence is felt to remember, you know, as the pasuk says, to remember the fact that he's not going to destroy humanity. So, you know, this reminds me of the idea of Kiddush Hashem. So the rabbis explain the psukim regarding Korach and Nadav and Avihu, that when you know Nadav and Avihu, they brought this strange fire to in the Beis Hamikdash, this Eish Zara, and it was a great Kiddush Hashem. What was the Kiddush Hashem? That they brought a strange fire? No, that there was immediate consequence. So you see God's presence in the world. Kiddush Hashem doesn't always mean, you know, helping an elderly, disabled woman cross the street. That is a Kiddush Hashem. Everybody should see that this is what fine Jewish people do. But a Kiddush Hashem means to see God's presence in the world. So God's presence in the world in this case is intending to mete out din, but he's remembering his covenant, and so he's not meting out the din. So this, you know, it's good and it's bad, right? It's both, right? It's Hashem. Hashem's presence is good, but when the principal has to walk into the classroom, it's probably not. It's probably not such a good thing. All right. Okay. So take a look further. The midrash. What? All right, so this isn't a halacha shir, but the rabbis do say that somebody who looks at the rainbow, you know, his eyes will be dimmed. You know, it's a bad thing. The Mishnah Berurah says, according to Chai Adam and others, that again, this is not a halacha shir, but if a person looks at when a person sees a rainbow, they shouldn't go ahead and report it to others. You should not go in and say, "Hey, you see the rainbow?" You know, and the reason for that being that it's a, you know, ostensibly that this is a bad omen, and since it's a bad omen, you don't go around spreading. You don't go, "Hey, you hear somebody died?" You know, that's an interesting. There is one of the later Achronim points out that. You know, regardless of all of all this, how can you say that the rainbow is a bad thing? Ultimately, you know, it takes the rainbow is a sign of protection, and the fact is the rainbow is an absolute beautiful expression of Hashem in nature. So okay, but that's for halacha. All right, so take a look at the Midrash Rabbah. Midrash Rabbah says the following: Vayomer lihim zoso sabris asher ani no sein beini uveinechem. Ledoros olam, am Rabbi Yudan, ledoros ksiv. You can take a look at this in the Hebrew or in the English. Rabbi Yudan says, based on this pasuk, he says that this is a covenant for generations. And what does he mean? Specifically for two generations, the generation of Chizkiah and the generation of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. How so? Rav Chizkiah took out the generation of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and he introduced Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Eliyahu Zachor Latov, and Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. So what's this talking about? Who are we talking about? We're the generations that we're talking about is this one, that one, the other one. What is it? What does it mean? So he says the following. Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi and Eliyahu were studying together, and they arrived at the opinion of Shimon Bar Yochai, and they said, "Look, the author of this opinion is here, and we will ask him about it." So Eliyahu, Zachar Latov, went with him, and Shimon said, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to Eliyahu, "Who is with you?" And he said, "The great one of this generation, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi." He said to him, "Did a rainbow appear in his days?" And he said, "Yes." So listen to this, Medrash says. He responds, "Well, if a rainbow appeared in his days, he is not kedai, he is not sufficient to meet with me." Somebody who lives in a generation, a tzaddik, a leader, a person who lives in a generation that sees a rainbow, that's not for Eliyahu HaNavi. You know, there's a pagam, there's a blemish there. Rav Chizkiah, says in the name of Rav Yirmiyah, spoke Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Says, okay, that's, we'll just read it to the end over here, because it's a nice medrash. Says, if Avraham can intercede from his generation to my generation, and I can intercede from my generation to King Mashiach, and if not, let Achia Shiloni join with me, and we will intercede from Avraham to Malach HaMashiach. Rav Chizkiah said, Tosa spoke, said in the name of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the world is not able to stand except for 30 tzaddikim like Avraham Avinu. Okay, but the main point of this medrash, aside from who can, is that if a rainbow appears, then it is a bad simon. It is a bad sign, right? Because ostensibly, somebody who is a great tzaddik would not, would not be in a situation where he would see a rainbow. Either him personally, or he didn't have the sufficient influence on his door, on his generation, to create a generation of people that would conduct themselves in a way that wouldn't require this reminder. So it seems like from the Medrash, and it seems like from the Gemara, that the appearance of a rainbow is unequivocally a bad thing, even though it's good that Hashem is not destroying the world, but it's a siman that you need such a reminder, right? So it's not such a good thing to have a rainbow. Take a look at Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, bottom of page 3. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor says the following: Es kashti nosati be'anan lefi shehem yireim v'charedim sheyushchetu. V'nosan lahem os, shelo yachlu od, kmo she'asu l'kayin, shehaya yare shema yehareg. Hashem provided this sign because the people were very scared. They were trembling in fear that God was going to destroy the world again. And so this is a sign that people should remember, just like Cain was given a sign, right? Cain was given a sign. Cain was at the wander about the world, and he was concerned he was going to be killed. So he was given a sign that he was going to be protected. So Yosef Bechor Shor errs on the side of good. That it's a sign, it's a simon of protection. And the reason was given because people were so afraid that they needed some reassurance. That's what the keshes is. The keshes is reassurance, right? So we have keshes as reassurance, keshes as security, keshes as this, or keshes is a bad omen because it reflects the lower level that people are living on, that they are in a situation that potentially should be decimated, and they're not. The Chizkuni says, bottom of page 4, the Chizkuni says, "Es kashti my rainbow, gadol hu shaharehu dmusi kavyachol." The rainbow is somehow a reflection of Hashem. Kimara keshes kemar dmus kvod Hashem v'im dati l'hashchis kishag shamim merubim ein ani mara lachem dmus kvodi. So is it a good thing or a bad thing for the principal to walk in? So Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor says, it's a good thing when the principal walks in. He says, im da'ati l'hashchis, if it was God's intent to destroy the world, ein ani mara lachem dmus kvodi, I would not reveal my glory. She'ein derech lamelech lavo ben avadav k'shehem nezufim meimenu, because the king does not walk amongst his subjects when they are rejected from him. So God's presence is unequivocally, says the Chizkuni, is unequivocally good. The fact that there is a keshes has to be seen as something which is unequivocally good. God is amongst the people. What is it about the rainbow more than any other sign? So listen to this. He says that a rainbow combines two opposite forces. He says fire and water. Now, this is not a scientific analysis of a rainbow, but it is a reflection of the rays of the sun. You can call that fire, right? Coming through the moisture in the heavens, that is water. And so you have these two opposites that sort of work together here. Lefisha keshes mara esh mara mayim mara adam mara yarek va'afal pisha mara mayim b'tzad mara esh. And even though the water is with the fire, einon mechaben es ha'esh. They do not douse the fire. Kach ha'keshes osi shelo yatzifu ha'gishamim od ha'olam. So the rainbow is a perfect symbol that water will not decimate any longer. The water does not have the power to overcome the fire. The water does not have the power to destroy the world any further. Davar acher, thirdly, kisha akeshes nira hapigima bitzad mata. When you look, so why the rainbow? Because of the significance of the coming together of opposites, right? And not just the coming together of the opposites, the coexistence of rain and fire, but it's that the coexistence of rain and fire, but it's also that the water cannot douse, cannot destroy the fire. Dover acher, so what else about the keshes? Another idea. Kisha keshes nira hapagima b'tzad mata zederech shalom. A bow and arrow, right? So if you remember from your archery courses when you last studied archery, right? So you have the front of the bow is the round part and the straight part, and you pull back the rounded part, right? And then you let it fling forward, right? And it right. So you have the right. So this is the string over here. You pull it back, and then it flings forward, and the arrow goes back. And this is the rod, right?
No, it's the opposite.
The opposite. Yeah. How does it work?
Pull the string back.
You pull the string back.
And it goes forward.
The bow is the rounded part.
The bow is the rounded part?
Yeah.
Okay, so the bow is the rounded part, right? So how do you hold it if you're going to...
You hold the bow and the string is straight.
So then you pull it back. Okay. You go like this. So I told you, you remember your archery courses. Right? So you pull the string back, right? Like that.
Right.
And then it flings forward. Okay. So, right. So if you're in a position where you're using it for military purposes, so... This is how it looks, right? That's how it looks, right? Is that
it's
right?
Okay, it's okay. Don't worry.
When you put it back, the string goes back.
You pull it back, the string goes back.
No, actually, the arrow is on the left of the string.
The arrow is over here.
Right, and it has a little...
Like that?
A little notch in the notch.
So you pull this back.
Right.
And this is used for holding for steadying.
Yeah, okay. No one that's sending you to the army.
Right. Well, I never took an archery course like all you did. Okay? All right. So this is how it goes. So you pull the string back, and then it flings forward.
You pull the arrow back.
You pull, well, but the,
pull the string.
But the string,
notch.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but the string is what gives it the force to go forward. Okay.
He's younger than us.
Okay.
The
bow is the force?
Has no force whatsoever. What propels the arrow is the strength of the wood.
Of the wood.
That flings it forward.
But the wood, I mean, this is not a physics class, but the wood isn't moving. It's the string that moves.
No, string is moving, but...
But it's picking up the energy from the wood. Fascinating. Okay. All right. I think we should... Yes.
Higher than where you're aiming it.
Right. Okay, so you have to aim it up. Okay. So, okay, good. So this is the shape, right? This is the shape of a bow and arrow, if there were an arrow in it, that were going to be used for war. Now, but if you flip it, right, like that, right, and you're over here, right, the military person is over here, so then this is not, you know, you're gonna fling it into your heart, right? So you can't do that. So this is a sign of an arrow at war, a bow at war, and this is a sign of a bow which is not at war. Okay, right. So now if you flip this over, and God is on top, Hashem is on top, and the humanity is over here, the world is over here. So, right. So the bow is now been turned upside down.
Right.
Right? So this is a symbol of Hashem saying that I'm holding my munitions, right? Right? If the bow were like this, right? Then that would be ready for Hashem to cause decimation to humanity.
So the arrow would go up.
Yeah, which
in this case, the arrow would go up.
Yeah.
Right. So from Hashem's point of view,
the arrow would go straight up.
Here?
Yes. If you...
Oh, right. Yeah, correct.
Way, the arrow would go down to humanity.
Right.
This way, the arrow goes up. This way, the arrow goes down.
No, we're just looking here.
Look, this way... This is the arrow, right?
No, the arrow goes straight ahead, to the left.
In this
holding
one?
Holding the bow in your right hand.
Grab my YouTube.
Holding the bow in your right hand.
You're holding the bow.
The rounded part.
You pull it back.
Right. So the straight line is the string, if you will.
Yes.
The straight line is the string, and that's close to you. And that's close to you.
The string is opposite you.
The string is opposite you.
You're holding
I started, and you all said it was the opposite.
So in that way, on that one, the arrow goes to the left.
It doesn't matter. The last drawing, the arrow is faced in such a way that it wouldn't land on exactly.
All right. Okay. Be that as it may. Says the Chizkuni, Kisha hakeshes nira hapegima b'tzad mata zederech shalom shedarchei keshes kishemivakshin liros he mechavnin hayeser neged pneihem v'hakeshes kineged oivim v'hakeshes hazos kinegdenu. Okay, so he says the following. The Chizkuni says that you can see it in the English. Normally, a hunter, when aiming his bow and arrow, aims it inclined upwards, or at least horizontally. The fact that this bow is inclined downwards is a proof that it is not the bow used by an antagonist bent on destroying his foe. And then the editor over here writes, for a further study on the significance of the rainbow, I thought he was going to say on further study of the significance of the how to hold it.
The explanation is that the bow itself is focused downwards. So
right.
Like a gun. If you have your gun in your holster, you're not going to shoot anybody.
So if you're holding it this way,
then you're holding it down. Pointing it downward, even though technically the arrow would go downward towards.
But he's holding. Right.
The point is, it's a sign from a hunter that he's not going to shoot.
Right, so he's holding it in a non-lethal position. Okay, all right, and that's the shape of the rainbow. So from this perspective, it's a sign that it is all good. Right, it's shalom, it's peace. All right, take a look at the Chochmas Anachal Torah, and he says the following, bottom of page 5. Shalok midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. Hashem is not like human beings are not like Hashem. Midas baser v'dam kasha simen melchama v'akadosh baruch hu nashan keshes lo shalom. This is what we just said. V'yafshar, it could be dila olam akeshes simen melchama. It could very well be that a bow is always a sign of war. Doesn't make a difference how you're holding it. Delfima sayem hayahadin. Because really, according to how the people have behaved, according to the justice of law, no saying Ligzor Chas V'Shalom Ezegzera, really Hashem, by justice should be bringing some justice, meeting out some justice upon the people. The Gavra Racham of Yisbarach Levatel Agzera. So the fact that a bow is present doesn't make a difference that it's downwards. He's saying its presence, so that brings us back to here. Right? So we bring us back to that it's bad. Right? So, amnam u'simen la'orer, but however, he says, a middle ground here, u'simen she'yashu, amnam u'simen la'orer she'yashuvu b'tshuva. The presence of the bow might be a sign of din, but it is also a reminder for us to do tshuva. Da'din b'chayev milchama. Because by right, There should be, quote unquote, war. God should be waging war on the people. But at the same time that it's a sign of war, there's also a nechama here. There is also something positive here. Because Hashem is holding it, it is reminding us that we have an opportunity to do tshuva, which is a great chesed of Hashem. So, check over here, okay? I think this is sufficiently messy. So I don't know how many checks. I think we have like 5 checks here and 4 checks there. But depending on how you understand it, or how you allow the simon of the keshes in all of its multi-layered, multi-colors to understand it, there is both something very positive and something very beautiful and something very empowering. You see the keshes. One person can look at it and say, woe is me. Or you look at the kesh and say, what an opportunity that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving me for tshuva, for betterment, for refinement. Take a look at the end here. Umidivrei has, and he says, and this explains what we, you know, that Gemara that we saw before. V'lachein b'dor shel Rashbi lo nira hakeshes during the generation of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, they didn't see the bow. D'zchusei d'zchusei matzla umagna. That his chus stood as a protection, as a defense, and his prayers, v'hu os ba'olam v'zed derech drash v'remes. Okay, and he even points out something similar in the Zohar. Okay, turn the page. So Rabbeinu Chaya has many interesting. This is just as surprising as this might sound, this Rabbeinu B'chaya, I gave you an excerpt. It's a very, very long Rabbeinu B'chaya. So he writes the following. He says, Mimash Darshu Razal, if you take a look at Bereishis Rabba, Bereishis Rabba sees something homiletical, a drasha, in the whole passage dealing with the rainbow. The word kashti is related to the word hekesh, comparison, similar to the meaning of the word dmus. My rainbow is a sort of reminder. All right. Does anybody mind if I erase this a little bit? Okay. Yeah, I think that's about as far as it can go. Right. So I want to conclude here with something from the Rabbeinu B'chaya and Rav Soloveitchik. So what I attempted to point out here is that thus far. Is that the significance of the keshet, the significance of the rainbow, right, can be positive in all the ways that we spoke about. It represents Hashem, the chesed of tshuva, protection, an unwavering covenant. All those things are positive. Hashem's glory, presence in the world, all those things are quite positive. On the negative side of the house, it's a simon, it's a bad omen. It's a sign that the people are not meeting their spiritual potential and should be doing better, right? And that there is justice. God's hand of justice is being stayed. Okay, so we have lots of reasons to look at the on one side. We have lots of reasons to look at the keshet from another perspective. Take a look at Rabbeinu B'chaya, and we're going to conclude with I think a really powerful idea from Rav Soloveitchik, which goes hand in hand with this Rabbeinu B'chaya. So I'm going to read this English translation for the sake of time. It says, God said, "My rainbow is sort of a reminder of my image when it appears in the cloud." My rainbow, kashti, says the Medrash, keshes comes from the word hekesh, which means comparison. Somehow, the keshet is compared to God. So we said that. Remember, it's God's glory, and we said how is that somehow representative of Hashem? So listen to this. It says my rainbow is a sort of reminder of my image when it appears in the cloud. This is only half of the simon. It's keshet be'anan. It is a rainbow in the cloud. If you look carefully at the psukim, it doesn't say a keshet. It says keshet be'anan. The hayah be'anani. Anan. The presence of the cloud is always there. People don't talk about the cloud so much. Everybody talks about the rainbow. But it's the Keshet Be'anan. Is it not extremely irreverent to say something like this? That God is compared to the rainbow in the cloud? We must therefore, says the Medrash, understand the word Keshet to mean from Kash, my straw. What's the meaning of that? The meaning is that just as straw, i.e., the pedestal of a fruit is necessary, but quite subordinate to the fruit itself, it is necessary at times for such subordinate matters to become visible. Man, in other words, that God is not, you know, God is not, cannot be compared to the rainbow, but at times something like the it has to become visible. Man possesses an invisible essence, the soul, and a visible peripheral shell, the body, the anan, if you will. The words, it will be when I place my clouds above the earth, are similar to Hashem saying, when I fuse the physical with the spiritual, the intangible, the spiritual intangible, then this rainbow will become visible on earth. The message to mankind is that the invisible spiritual forces we call soul must become manifest in the body. The keshet, the rainbow, is not just the keshet. It's keshet be'anan. Right? It is somehow seeing Hashem, seeing the spiritual essence in that physical reality. And this is the meaning of the word, v'nirasah keshet be'anan. The rainbow will become visible in the cloud. The cloud is the curtain which divides between man's body and soul. And the rainbow is the imperative call to man for his soul to become manifest. So when you see the keshet, the anan, you see the call to, for greatness, the call for spiritual refinement, the call of meeting our spiritual destiny, our highest point, to be the chelek eloka mimal, the little piece of God on earth. But that requires us to part the clouds and to be able to uncover and reveal the neshama which exists within each and one of us. We look at the heavens, and that is a mirror for us. So this is the keshet ba'anan is actually, it's not really a good thing or a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing, if I may quote our president in everything he says, right? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. The word keshet, continuing on here, the word keshet is derived from kasha. It's another approach. Hard or severe. It's a reference to the attribute of justice, the hard attribute of justice. Hashem said that it would become the sign of the covenant, i.e., the sign of the circumcision. The Torah very significantly did not say, es hakeshet nasati be'anan. The Torah did not say, the rainbow I have placed in the cloud. In other words, the well-known rainbow. It didn't say HaKeshet. The reason that God refers it to my rainbow is to remind us that the cloud he speaks of is not one of the regular clouds which appear in the sky every day. Ready for this, Brindy?
I'm sorry?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear, because I'm still not sure what this
is. God speaks of the Anane HaKavod.
Oh.
Okay. Back to where you started. Right?
Well,
God speaks to the Anane HaKavod, clouds of glory, such as we are told in Sefer Shmos, V'hinei Kvod Hashem Nira Be'anan. The glory of Hashem became manifest in the clouds. The meaning of the words in our verse, V'nirasa Keshes, is that the attribute of justice will become manifest in the clouds. Seeing that we have a pasuk in Yecheskel, which we said, as the appearance of the bow which shall be on a rainy day, so the appearance of Hashem, our sages, Chazal, Chachamim and Chagiga interpreted these words as being a warning that anyone who looks deliberately at the rainbow will have diminished eyesight. So you should be enlightened by the following. All right, so basically, you know, sort of another sort of approach here about the keshet being a symbol of Hashem in the cloud and this notion of revealing something spiritual. All right. One second. I want to conclude with this idea of salvation, and say the following: the keshet be'anan, right? the rainbow in the cloud. It's not the rainbow on its own. It's the rainbow in the cloud. Before we say it, just one final point on this. So if we say that somehow the rainbow in the cloud is manifesting Hashem's justice in this world, right? So how is that a positive thing, to manifest justice in the world? So it is a positive thing for justice to be in a world where there is din, right? A world where there's no din is a world of anarchy, right? You need a world of din where there is justice, where there is mishpat. Because if there is none, then there's no, and then evil can reign supreme, and there's no, balance, and there's no justice to evil. So Hashem's justice being manifest in the world is counterintuitively a very positive thing. Because if there are no standards, then there's no compassion. Standards enable compassion. Compassion without standards is just nothing. Okay, Parshas Noach from the Penine Harav. V'haya ba'anani anan ala aretz v'nirasa keshas be'anan. Says Rav Soloveitchik. HaTorah mitaires es Noach. God describes Noach as a righteous man, tzaddik tamim b'darosav. However, the Chachamim understood, the ilu haya be'emes tzaddik adol ke'avraham avinu. If Noach had been a tzaddik, a righteous person like Avraham, haya kadosh baruch hu kores brisimo, Hashem would have made a covenant with him instead of Avraham. Why did he wait another 10 generations to get to Avraham? Says the Rav Midalo Asakein, from the fact that we do not have a covenant with Noach, but we waited till Avraham, Hashem waited till Avraham. Shema mina, shahaya eza chisar onetzel Noach. We see from this that Noach had some type of blemish, some type of something missing in his righteousness. And as a consequence of this, Darshu Razal, our Chachamim interpret the Pasuk, where it says, Mipnei Hamabul, Shemikatnei Emuna Haya, that Noach was of little faith. Katnei Emuna, he was of little faith. V'chein Darshu HaPasuk, V'yachol Noach Yishah Adama, She'asas Atzmo Chulim. V'achisaron Haya, what was his lack of faith? V'achisaron Haya, Shelo ra'a efsharut shel tov etzel kol rishei doro. He didn't see the positive possibility amongst the rishayim of his generation, as opposed to Avraham. Sheis pala ba'ad stom. Avraham prayed for stone. Maybe 50, maybe 40, maybe 30, maybe 10. But he tried. Shelo, but when it comes to Noach, he didn't try at all. The chein hu b'zohar, and similarly, the Zohar makes this point, this differentiation between Moshe Rabbeinu and Noach. It says Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Zohar, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told that Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael for their dastardly deeds, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says no, and he prays for the Jewish people and he saves the Jewish people. Lo bay rachman alma v'savidu. But when it comes to Noach, he just lets it happen. And that's why, uvigin kach ikrun mei hamabul, line 19, al shmei. That's why the waters of the Mabul are known as mei Noach. What do you mean mei Noach? It's not mei Noach. He was the good guy here. He was the good guy. But he bears some responsibility as well. Mei Noach. Because he refused to see the positive, something positive, in the Rishayim around him. We're not talking about people that were like mid-level Rishayim. Not to forget, we're not talking about people that are just on the spectrum. You know, we're talking about people that are, you know, that are way on the edge. And Chazal hold him accountable, and says the Rav, the Chazal are basically holding him accountable for not seeing something positive. Nobody's 100% bad. Ulefikach, therefore, Hero HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him, says the Rav, Keshes Be'anan, the rainbow in the cloud. To Noach. It's a message to Noach. Ki b'chol anan efshar liros mashehu or. Because in every dark place, in every dark person, and we don't really know dark people, we know people that are maybe less good. But says Lefika Heroa Kadosh Baruch Hu Keshes Laharoslo Sheafal Pishanira Keilu Yesh Eze Neshama Shein Shum. Even though there's somebody that you think has no redeeming quality to them, the Or Gunuzba, the God's light is entirely white, covered. Ein Adavar Kein. There's no such thing as that. And this is a hard. I'm not going to deal with the philosophy of really, really bad people. Let's just apply this to normal people who we don't like. Ki b'chol anan efshar liros mashehu or. Because in every dark cloud, in every person who we find lacking, there is light. The efshar liros afilu keshes melea oros. And in fact, if you look hard enough, you can find a rainbow full of light. Ata, you Noach, you didn't bother to look inside the people. Lefikach, and therefore, ani mara lecha, and therefore he was mikatne amana, didn't have faith. Lefikach, ani mara lecha es hakeshes be'anan b'shamayim, and therefore I show you the rainbow in the heaven. And that's the significance of the rainbow in the heaven. To remind Noach of his responsibility and of our responsibility. There is maybe a justice that God's hand is staying right now. But you want to know how to overcome that, how to earn that covenant. Keshes ba'anan. Look at your neighbor and find the keshes, the good in that person. And that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the story that we had when they asked Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Did he see a rainbow in his generation? Kilomar, Hayim Hayah Kadosh Baruch Hu Muchrach Laharos Lecha Keshes Bananim V'Shamayim. Did you live in a time where Hashem had to show a Keshes Be'anan to remind the people to see good in others? Osha Atema Ba'atzmechem Re'isem Ha'or Hagonos Bilavos Kol Bnei Adam. Or you knew on your own, you remembered on your own to see the good in other people. That's what the keshes is. Not about, you know, reminding us that God is good and God is protecting us. Not about telling us that there's God's hand of justice is being stayed. No, this is a challenge. The keshes be'anan, until we get to Yemos HaMashiach, we will have keshes be'anan. And the question is, do we need a keshes be'anan in Shamayim to mirror for us, to remind us, to be able to see Keshes Ba'anan around us, to see the rainbow in the people around us. The and he says midrashim Shakodesh Baruch Hu. There's a famous midrashim that Hashem cited in Rashi that Hashem took the original light of the world, Gunzo laHaor Shal Sheshes Me'abreshes Bolam Hazeh, and he hid that original light. It wasn't sufficient. It wasn't appropriate that the Rishon to use. The Heichan Gonzu. And where exactly was this light, this original light, hidden? The Or HaGonuz? Belev Kol Echad V'Echad. That hidden light, that Or HaGonuz, which is waiting to be revealed at the time of Mashiach, to resurface in the world, where is it currently being hidden? Belev kol echad ve'echad, in the souls of each one of us. Ve'afilu b'libusehem shel harishayim, even in the hearts and souls of the wicked. Shenira ki'ilu ein shama or klal, it looks like there's no light in them at all. Only choshech and anan. U'la'asid lavo, in the time of Mashiach, yetze ha'or ha'bahir hazeh mitoch ha'choshech ha'mechasehu. This light in each and every one of us will become manifest in the world. The Inyan Olam Haba, what is the idea of this future world of the Olam Haba, the messianic time? Shekol ha'kochos ha'tmunim v'hagnuzim b'lev kol echad v'echad yetzu l'or. All the kochos, all the energies, all the capabilities, all the light that dwells within us, that is currently being covered over and held up, will be manifest in the world. And we will be able to meet our full potentials. The Iskayim Mikra Shekasov Kimala Ha'aretz Deya Es Hashem. And the Pasuk that says that in the future time, the the wisdom, the knowledge of Hashem will fill the world. That's what it means. It means that this neshama that exists within each of us, even the people that we think are dark, that will come out and will be revealed and will be fully flowering. And if it's true for Noach and the really bad Rishayim, the corrupt Rishayim of the Dor HaMabul, it is most certainly true for us and anyone who comes within our environs. I want to tell you a 30-second story. And if we're lucky, I'm actually trying to bring these guys to Kingsway later in the year. There's a fellow by the name of Derek Black and Michael Stevenson. Derek Black is a white nationalist, and Michael Stevenson is an Orthodox from Jew. And both of them, several years ago, were in college in the university in Florida. And Stevenson, the from Jew, decided to befriend Derek Black. And for 2 years, every Friday night, he made Shabbos meals in his dorm room, and he invited this white nationalist to his dorm room for Friday night dinner. For 2 years, every single Friday night. And he told his friends who he was inviting, and the one rule they had is that he couldn't talk about white nationalism.
Where is he today?
Today, he is, Derek Black is a renounced and reformed white nationalist, and he goes around speaking about, his own experience, and trying to spread a little light in the world. Right? And that's because a from guy decided to invite him to Friday night dinner. So let's forget about white nationalists for a second. How about just people that we know? Instead of expunging them and pushing them away and doing what we can to raise the tension and anger and conflict, maybe do what we can to find the anan, the keshes be'anan. Too many of us find the anan be'keshes. Because it's easy to see the anan, not so easy to even in the physical. When you see a rainbow, it's not always so easy to see. You got to see it from this angle, from that angle. If you sometimes I'm driving my kids in the car. I remember one time we were going down Flatbush Avenue. There was a huge, huge rainbow, like from what you don't really see it so often, like from end to end. And we're looking at the car. We're looking at this thing, and So it's not so easy to see, but you have to look for the keshes be'anan. So I think that is what it means. If you look at the anan, you go start telling, you start telling people. This is not about telling people. This is for you. You have to look at the keshes be'anan for you, not to look at the keshes be'anan and start going around and talking to people and telling people. It's your challenge. It's my challenge. Right? That's the pshat, I think. Or not, if not the pshat, it's the drash, and the fact to look at the keshes and that one's eyes go bad, right? It means that we're blinded by that beauty and by the purity of that light, and that we are not really ready for it yet. But we have to get ourselves to be a place where we can look squarely at the keshes, and it is just the light that exists amongst us every day, ma'isim b'chol yom. And that's the challenge and the bracha, the significance of the rainbow, the keshes be'anan. Okay, Mirtzah Hashem next week.